Let us pray. Father, we acknowledge that you are here among us and come before us to prepare our hearts. And we pray that by your grace and by your help, your word will be faithfully preached and faithfully heard this day in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. It's an Anglican tradition that we would take a look at one passage of Scripture and compare it to other passages of Scripture to find out what it really means. That we would take a look at the overall view of what a passage of Scripture has to say, comparing it to other passages. And it's not even out of the ordinary that we would see one passage or one text of Scripture is commenting on another passage of Scripture. And I think that that's what's happening in the gospel lesson today. Earlier on in Jesus' ministry, recorded in chapter 6 of Luke, we hear Jesus commenting to the disciples on how they're to love one another as a father loves them. And then he goes on to say, because the Most High God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. He's kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Now, we might want to argue with Jesus about that. We would want to say, naturally, we'd want to say Jesus is kind to those who are kind to him. We'd want to say Jesus is kind to those who are kind to his people. But Jesus turns it around, and he turns it upside down, and he says, Jesus, the Most High God, is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Well, the gospel lesson today from Matthew, Jesus is standing there in the courts of the temple where he's been telling them parable after parable. And in this context where the chief priests are and the Pharisees are, the leaders of the nation of Israel are, he speaks into them this story of an owner of a vineyard. All of the passages today that are appointed have to do with a vineyard. And he speaks about this vineyard that the owner has. He bought this plot of land and he goes in and he clears it of stones and he personally plants the vines, each one with the right amount of peat moss and manure or whatever you do with vines. And he goes in and he provides for it in every way possible. He puts a hedge around it. He makes accommodations for the tenants, the workers. He puts watering system in there. He puts a tower so that they could be protected. He does everything that he possibly can do to provide for this vineyard. And then he lets it out to tenants and he leaves for another country. Jesus wants us to know that he did everything, this owner, that he provided everything, that nothing that was needed was not provided. And so you see how he plucks out of the Old Testament lesson today the story from Isaiah chapter 5, where it's talking specifically about Israel and how Israel is God's pleasant planting, it says, and how the owner of the vineyard, God, comes in and he provides. And he takes out the stones and he plants the vines and he puts a hedge around it and he builds a tower. And in verse 4 it says, what more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not yet done? You see how God wants us to understand that he's provided everything that's needed. He's done everything that is necessary to make this a productive vineyard for the best grapes and the best wine. And at first, these tenants who were hired to come in and work are very clear about this. This belongs to someone else. This belongs to the owner who's gone to another country, and we're the workers. But after a while, after a couple weeks and a couple months of working hard in this vineyard, after 12-hour days of working blood, sweat, and tears and pouring themselves into this vineyard, they begin to inch towards the idea, well, maybe this is ours. The tenants begin to assume ownership over this vineyard that they worked so hard for. And they begin to lose sight of the owner who's in another country, probably on a yacht someplace and enjoying life someplace. And they lose sight of the fact that this is his vineyard and we are the workers. Helmut Tillich, in his commentary on this, says that the tenants even take credit for the sunshine and the rain and the good climate. And they're saying to themselves, oh, we are the ones who produced the good wine. We're the ones who did it. It all started one day when someone came up to you and patted you on the shoulder and said, what a good job you've done. And you begin to think to yourself, yeah, I haven't really done that bad, have I? Fast Company magazine editorial calls this a thank you scarcity. That's what they have, is a thank you scarcity. They're not grateful for the fact that this job, this opportunity has been provided for them, and that they are the tenants and there is an owner. It's just what happened with the Tower of Babel. It's what the Tower of Babel was. They forgot that God had entrusted to them the whole earth, and they began to build themselves a tower to God. It was all their effort, all their work, and they lost sight of the fact that God is the owner of the vineyard of their lives. There's a wonderful passage in Deuteronomy where Moses is poised at the very edge of getting into the promised land with all the Israelites. We know that he never made it. They made it, but he didn't. But he's poised there on the very edge of entering into this promised land. And he's talking to God and he's talking to the Israelites. And in that context, he reminds them how God had provided for them the whole way through. God provided the food for those 40 years in the wilderness, and the water, and shoes that never wore out. And he did it all. He provided it all. And now as he's ready to enter, here's his topmost concern for the Israelites. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, take care lest you forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be filled up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. Beware that you not forget the Lord your God. And so Jesus goes on in this passage to say that it's harvest time after all that hard work of the tenants. The messengers were sent, and one after the other was beat and killed and stoned. And then he sends more messengers, even more than the first. Messenger after messenger after messenger, and they were treated in the same way. And then you can almost see a light bulb going on in the minds of the Israelites, the leaders, the chief priests and the Pharisees who are listening to this. You can almost see them say, see this dawn on them. Oh, he's talking about us. This is about us. And unless we miss it, Mark and Luke add this to the same story, their accounts. They perceived, the tenants perceived, the Pharisees perceived that he told this parable about them. And then he says, I'm going to send my son. They're going to listen to him. It's clearly a story of the history of Israel, isn't it? The history of God's dealing with Israel over the ages, how God had provided a land for them, the promised land and how God had freed them from slavery in Egypt and had brought them through those 40 years in the wilderness, provided every step of the way. A pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. He led them and provided for them every step of the way. And then he sent the prophets over the years and the priests and kings and all the others to encourage them to come back to God, give God his rightful place, acknowledge God as the owner of this vineyard. And they wouldn't. And now he sends his Savior, his own Son, and they're not going to listen to him. It's easy to conclude from this parable of the wicked tenants, this one message: be grateful. And certainly God wants us to be grateful, to be thankful, to acknowledge that God is the giver of all that we have. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given back to thee. God is the giver of all that we have. The minds by which we are able to think and create and work and earn a living and support our families. God gave us that. He's the one that gave us that. And so be grateful is the message of this passage. But the real story is the owner who sends his son into the midst of massive ingratitude and among the wicked tenants to be beat and killed and thrown out of the vineyard. That's the story. He sent his own son to be treated in the same way, into the midst of this massive ingratitude and the wickedness of the tenants' attitude towards what they had built. Like Jesus standing there in the midst of the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests. Like Jesus, whose friends would run away at the first moment and desert their buddy. Like Jesus, who would be betrayed by one of his own disciples. Like Jesus, who would be abused and spit upon and taken advantage of and beaten. Like Jesus, who would be killed and then after 3 days rise again. The story is about the owner who sends his own son, who was made to be the enemy that we are so that we can be saved. He was willing to become sin, this son of the owner, this Jesus. He was willing to become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. He was willing to become a curse so that we could have the blessing of becoming sons. The story of the Father sending his son into the midst of this ingratitude and into the midst of the wickedness is at first very clear. Someone else owns this vineyard. We're just the workers. To the extent that we begin to assume ownership over what it is that we have and enjoy and are blessed with, there's massive good news that Jesus, the Most High God, is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. And aren't you glad? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.